Hey, kids, it's time for
Surf Shorts!
Welcome to the Surf Shorts podcast, an innovator in modern storytelling, looking towards the future, using business terms like radical, off the lip, caught inside, and totally tubular. Surf Shorts, the storytelling podcast, recorded on VHS, then downloaded to cassette for maximum audio quality. It's totally radical.
Surf Shorts, brought to you by the good people at...
Oh, it's not crickets anymore, people. Outer Banks Hammocks, brought to you by Outer Banks Hammocks. Outer Banks Hammocks, for the ultimate lay. You can reach them on the internet at obxhammocks.com. They've got all kinds of stuff for you now. Obviously, they have hammocks and swings and chairs, and now they're breaking into outdoor furniture. They've got a lot of outdoor furniture, high-end stuff, Three Birds Casual Teak, Outer Banks Aluminum and Resin Wicker, Polly's Island Durawood, Summer Classics. They've got it all. Hit them up at OuterBanksHammocks.com. That's OBXHammocks.com/outdoor-furniture. Outer Banks Hammocks for the ultimate lay. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Surf Shorts. Today I have Jesse. What's going on, dude?
Not much. What's happening?
Not much. You know, we were talking, you got out of the Risal Beach area. And for those of you who don't know, which is about 30% of our audience, you know, North Carolina has a really rugged coastline, and there are several capes. The most out cape there, the one that's most out into the ocean, is Cape Hatteras. Then you have Cape Lookout, and then you come down to us and you're at Cape Fear. On the northern side of Cape Fear, there's east facing beaches, and Risal Beach is one of those. It's crowded. It's connected to UNCW. It has a ton of surfers and some nice blue water, get some good waves. Masonboro Island is right beside of it. And then if you go southwest, I know it sounds crazy, you got to look on a map, then you can stay at some other beaches that actually face mostly south. And you took off for there. Where'd you go?
To Ocean Isle Beach, which faces almost dead south.
Yeah, you can see the sun rise and the sunset sometimes, right?
That's right. Yeah, it rises on the east end of the beach, which was most people think is the north end.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Yes.
Yeah, and then sets on the west end, which everybody thinks is the south end. So yeah, you can see it. It kind of comes up and sets on the water almost.
You'd have to wonder about one of those people like, oh, yeah, that's right. The sun does set in the south.
There yeah. are people.
Yeah, y'all in Ocracoke can do that.
Yep.
And I don't know. I guess Frisco can too, but you know what I'm saying. So what sent you down there? You had some family connections, right?
Yeah, I had. So my brother owned a surf shop in Ocean Isle Beach. So I lived in Wilmington in the wintertime, and then the summer, my family kind of shipped me to my brother in Ocean Isle as a daycare center when I was a little kid.
Right.
When I graduated high school, my brother wanted to go back to college, and he asked me to come down and run the shop for him. And so I did. And
oh, man, I bet you're like, what? Run a surf shop? That sounds terrible. I'm a guy that surfs all the time, and I'm fresh out of high school. I would not want to do that.
Yeah, well, the cool thing down there at the time was it was so seasonal that you really worked for 100 days.
Yeah.
Worked for the summer, and then Labor Day came, and it was a ghost town, so everybody was gone. So you would buy a plane ticket and go somewhere and
yeah.
travel and explore at that point. But
yeah, and so did y'all close the shop?
Yeah, my brother sold the shop, I guess, 2 years after I moved down. And then I ended up opening another store there that had a surf shop and a coffee shop together, and ran that for a while until I had my daughter, and we had our daughter. It's hard to be a coffee shop owner.
It is.
And have a daughter.
It is hard to do retail of any type and have kids and also remember what they look like.
Yeah, I got tired of not talking to her, seeing her at all. So it's like, well, this is... Let's move on to something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. So what, we know you're a surfboard shaper yourself, and you've shaped over 5,000 surfboards. Well, I'd be interested in hearing that from you. Like in your surf shop that you owned yourself, you're a shaper, you know about surfboards. What other boards did you carry?
Like brands?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we carried Super brand surfboards yeah. early yeah. on, carried Lost surfboards. Mm-hmm. That was pretty much it in my shop. My brother's shop, he did Lost surfboards and Xanadu surfboards. And then early on, he did Blue Hawaii surfboards.
Mm-hmm.
Perfections out of Myrtle Beach. Oh, sold yeah. a lot of those. Yeah. A lot of power tools back when Dave was doing it.
Dave, Kelly, Kelly Richards. Yeah.
So a lot of those guys. So that was pretty much the main brands that they carried back in those days.
Yeah, definitely my first ever brand new custom made for me surfboard was a Kelly Richards. Yeah. And I'll never forget it.
Yeah. My first surfboard was my first surfboard was a Proline.
Yeah. Oh
and,
yeah.
Yeah. Then I got a Kelly Richards. I got a Perfection. And then my first custom was a Power Tool. Splatter painted bottom and everything.
Cool. Yeah, man. Dave Endres could shape a surfboard.
Buddy. Yeah.
He was a very, very good surfboard shaper. We talked with him. I had Jim Skiba on the show. Yeah, I had Jim on the show. And he and Dave go way, way back. And he was telling me that Dave at one point was in California training or learning from Clyde Beatty himself. And this was, you know, back in the 70s. So I was like, That's some pretty legit statistics about yourself if you're out there shaping with Clyde Beatty.
Dave did some stuff back in the early 90s that was way ahead of its time. He did power rods in boards to stiffen them up and change the flex pattern, which they now do all kinds of different things. I mean, the carbon patches on the tail and carbon down the center all is kind of that same kind of thing.
Yeah.
He did flex tails. He did a lot of different kind of twinsers, which was a big thing for him for a while.
Yeah. Michael Paul made a ton of twinsers.
Mm-hmm.
He got to where he was like, that's what he made.
Yeah.
Mainly. You know, when I think about Dave Endres making a surfboard, I think about the mid 90s, like Charlie Baldwin. He was quickly trying to get away from the really skinny, really narrow boards. And he was, you know, about the time 5.5, 19 and a quarter came out. At the same time, he was producing really similar boards to that, except for, you know, they're a little bit bigger for the East Coast. And I had a bunch. I had two that were his. They weren't mine, but I should think Sean O'Donnell, like, somehow ended up saying, hey, ride this and see what you think about it. And then Sean made me some of them, but like 5.10, 19 and a quarter, double stinger swallowtail with a little cheater fin. It was like magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so much better than anything I'd ridden before.
Yeah. The guy that I learned to shape surfboards from, name was Mike Beanbaugh.
Yeah.
He learned from Ben Ipa.
Right.
And, I was surfing for Mike at the time, and he said he had made a board that was like the boards that I had always rode. And he said, I want to make you a board that instead of having an 11-inch wide nose, let's go to like a 12-inch wide nose. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I don't know why we would do that. I mean, that's not what I'm riding. And he said, you will never know when you're riding the board that the board's wider in the nose, but you'll know it when you're paddling.
When you're paddling, yeah.
And sure enough, I mean, he made that board, and it all of a sudden, I was like, I can catch every wave there is.
Right.
You know, the big thing with surfing is you're only getting better if you're catching waves. So if you're, you know, back in those days, it was a struggle to catch waves, but, you know, just a little push of the nose made it so much easier.
Yeah. And, you know, like, well, we were riding boards that were long for no reason. Like I had a bunch of 6.4s. Okay. And if you look at any picture, I have some up in my room, in my chemistry room at school. But if you look at any of the pictures, yeah, well, the whole front of the board is just sticking out of the water like a Dutch boy's wooden shoe, like curving up in there, like doing nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was that kind of rocker has a place if you're, you know, dropping in on really big, steep waves or something.
Right.
But, and it does make rocker makes a board kind of go straight back up a wave a little easier. But if the board's short, it goes straight back up the wave easier too. So,
right.
Yeah, I rode 6.4s too. And I was, you know, 5'11, 120 pounds.
Yeah.
I rode a 6.4 because I thought that's what you're supposed to ride.
Right. Yeah. Hey, man, you were telling me about a trip you took. Where was that trip you took with your family?
To St. Thomas.
St. Thomas. All right. Yeah. So you're in St. Thomas, and that, you know, a lot of people driving in the cars right now, they're shaking their head like, what are you talking about, St. Thomas?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, surf trip to St. Thomas?
Yeah, it wasn't a surf trip. We went, my wife's family and myself and my wife and my daughter, she was only 6 months old, and we wanted to go on vacation, and it was like, oh, well, St. Thomas, I've never been there.
Sure.
You know, my daughter's 6 months old. I'm not really, you know, I'm trying to spend time with her, not really looking for a surf trip.
Right.
Per se. So yeah, St. Thomas sounds awesome. So we went and, you know, we were snorkeling and hanging out by the pool and, just hanging in the resort that we were staying at. I talked to some people before and said, oh, you know, is there any surf in St. Thomas? And a couple people were like, oh yeah, well, you know, you can get on a boat and go to a reef and there might be surf out there.
Yeah. And you're like, you could do that in Belize too.
Yeah.
Like if you got lucky, nobody goes to Belize to surf on purpose. But if you wanted to go out to like the outer reef or whatever, you can catch a wave if you do it right. And the wind's not blowing and all the conditions come together. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was like, yeah, I guess you could, but I was like, I'm not going to take a board bag.
No.
With a 6 month old, a board bag, and then, you know, pay for it going there, coming back. It's like, there's not going to be any waves.
Yeah. And you know, it's a family vacation. You got a 6 month old baby with you. You're not going to go down there and abandon your wife to just, you know, be 25 again.
No, definitely not. So, yeah. So, but we were there and we were kind of just sitting around on the beach, and I pulled my phone out and I said, well, you know, let me just see kind of, maybe I kind of looked, there was a little bit of wind that day and you kind of saw a little bit of humps on the horizon way off. And
yeah,
I was like, well, let me just look and just see, you know, a magic seaweed. It'll pull up, you know, your closest break and let me see if I can, you know, if it shows me what a reef is, just to see kind of what the surf might be like.
Yeah.
So I did. And it pulled up St. Thomas, and then it pulled up a little beach called Megan's Bay, and it said that the forecast for the next day was going to be 6 to 10 foot and clean.
And you're like, and I was like, wait a minute.
It's like, what? I'm sitting in St. Thomas. There's no possibility for waves, but they're saying it's going to be 6 to 10 foot and clean.
I love you, honey, but yeah. There's a limit.
Yeah. Like, we really need to explore this island, like the other side of it.
Something tells me the baby would really enjoy the other side of the island. We should take her over there.
Yeah, it's a whole different experience. And, you know, let's just check it out. Well, I ended up talking everybody into it. I said, you know, let's get in the rental car and let's just go check this other side of the island out. And I said, you know, online it shows they have surfboard rentals, and it'd be really cool just for me to be able to say that I surfed in St. Thomas.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So I was like, you know, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
And so they were like, oh yeah. I mean, everybody's adventurous in the family. So they're like, yeah, that'd be, you know, we'll check it out. We'll see what's going on. So we get up in the morning. Not as early as probably most surfers would get up, but
yeah, not a surf trip.
Yeah. But we got up, ate breakfast, and got in the car and headed to find Megan's Bay. So it was all the way. We were kind of staying where the cruise boats came right past us in part. So we were kind of in the main area of St. Thomas, and Megan's Bay was over the mountain and the other side.
Yeah. And I want to be honest with you. How big is this island? Like, I don't know.
It's not big. It took us probably 30 minutes, I think, to drive.
Okay. So that's what I was imagining.
Yeah. It's a small island, and that's, you're going 15 miles an hour the whole time.
So. Like a single lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Once you get out of the main populated area, then it's, you know, like a lot of Caribbean islands, it's, you know, small roads and people honking horns and
going around the turn, blind turn.
Yeah. Blind turns and motorcycles and cows in the road and all kinds of stuff. So,
oh, yeah.
But we pull into Megan's Bay and right there, there's a big sign that says surfboard rentals. I was like, awesome. This is perfect. So we park the car and I get out and I look around, and surfboards, there's no surfboards sitting outside of the rental place. And I'm looking out at the bay and there's a ton of boats parked in the bay. So I'm kind of confused. I'm like, where's the surf at?
Yeah. Where's this wave?
Yeah. Like it's supposed to be 6 to 10 foot today. Like where is this at? So I kind of look out to the left and past all these boats. And in the corner, you see this little left point break coming around this corner.
Yeah.
And, but you could tell there was definitely a wave.
Yeah. I can imagine it.
So I was like, man, okay. So there's a wave. So now I just have to find, you know, wait to see these guys open up and rent a board. So we got everybody out and set the beach up for everybody, and everybody got their chairs out and all that kind of stuff. And the whole time I'm looking over my shoulder thinking that the guy's going to open the surfboard rental place.
Yeah.
And nothing at all. And I see these two kind of old salty guys sitting on a bench over kind of next to it. And they're, you could tell they're looking out at the waves and talking. So I said, well, you know, I'm going to go over and talk to these guys.
Yeah.
And my wife's like, well, do you know them? And I was like, no, but I mean, you know, I'm going to go see if they know when this guy opens, or, you know, they look like they kind of hang out around here.
Yeah. They look like they surf. So yeah. I do kind of know them.
Yeah. So I'll go check it out. So I went up to these guys and I said, hey, you know, when does the surfboard rental guy open? And he's like, oh man, there's waves today. And I said, I know, I'm from North Carolina. I'd like to rent a surfboard so I could surf. And he's like, oh yeah, they went out early this morning to the reefs. They got on the boats and went out to the reefs. That's where the good surf is. And I said, well, you know, is there not good surf over on the corner? He's like, oh yeah, it's pretty good today, but it's really good out on the reefs. He's like, but so those guys won't be back in today.
They're gone.
Yeah. There. He's like, you know, if it's really good, they don't rent surfboards. So I was like, oh, okay. I said, well, do you know anybody that would rent a surfboard? And one guy looks at me and he's like, well, I have a surfboard. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's talk numbers.
Yeah. It's like, all right, are you trying to rent it to me, or, you know, what's the deal? And he's like, I mean, it's in a shed kind of back behind us. I haven't surfed in a couple of years, but I've got a board back there. And I was like, well, if you would let me rent it from you or borrow it, like, I would love to, you know, be able to just go out and say I surfed in St. Thomas.
Yeah. I don't have to go to the outer reef. I just surf that wave right there.
Yeah.
And I'll be happy.
Yeah, Mike, I just, you know, I'm just going to go right, you know, you can see where I'm at. I'm just going to be right there. So he's like, well, how long have you surfed? I said, oh, man, I've been surfing pretty much my whole life. He's like, yeah, well, where are you from? I said, well, I'm from North Carolina. And I never say Ocean Isle Beach because sure. No one knows where that is.
I never say I'm from Hempstead. I say I'm from Wilmington.
Yeah, that's me too. I'm like, I'm from Wilmington, you know, Riceville Beach area. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, well, we're from the Cocoa Beach area, Florida. So I immediately go, oh, yeah, I surf there all the time. I go there in the winter. And so you could tell that he's willing to let me borrow the surfboard, but not quite sure if he wants to let me borrow the surfboard.
Yeah, he's going to make you work for it at the very least.
Yes, for sure. So he starts asking me all kinds of questions. So who do you know in Cocoa Beach?
And you're like,
and I'm like, oh, I mean, I've got some friends that live there, and you know, I used to surf with a bunch of kids that were from there, and he's like, uh-huh. Do you ever surf like any surf contests or anything? And I said, well, yeah, I did. As a kid, I surfed a lot of surf contests and the ESA. And I said, you know, and at that time I was a co-director of the Southern North Carolina District of the ESA. So I said, you know, I'm in the ESA still as a director. He said, well, do you know? And he named a director from Florida. And I said, yeah, I know him. He's been around for a long time. And
yeah.
So then he started warming up to me. He said, well, you know, this board isn't the best board. Like, I don't know what kind of board you ride. And he says, what are you looking for?
So we've gone from, I'm not sure you can actually surf, to now, maybe my surfboard's not good enough for you. And you're the whole time's been like, does it float?
Yeah. I'm just like, I don't care what kind of surfboard it is.
Yeah.
So he goes into, you know, asking me, well, what kind of surfboard do you ride? So I'm like, well, you know, I usually ride like a 6'2", you know, short board or a fish, or, you know, I've got a long board or, you know, whatever. He's like, yeah, I think this board is like a 7'2" or 7'6". That works. That's good.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's fine. We go back and forth, and finally goes, I'll go get it and I'll let you look at it. So that's great.
You're like, that's what I was hoping to do is look at a surfboard. And I'm going to look at the waves.
Yeah. The whole time I'm looking over my shoulder, and my wife is staring back, and she's like looking at me like, are these guys going to kidnap my husband?
Yeah, like, how could this conversation be taking this long?
Yeah. Like he was just going to ask if they could find a surfboard. And now he's been over there for like 45 minutes talking with these guys while I'm sitting here with a 6-month-old. But so he comes back and he has a 7'6"-ish Stuart Fun Shape that is as brown as you can get.
Yep.
D-Lam deck.
Yeah.
You know, holes in the rails.
Probably made during our era.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been in that shed for probably years there. It's got, you know, the wax is slippery. It's a horrible surfboard as far as the condition. He's like, I mean, this is all I got. I said, Matt, if you would let me ride that board, I will take it. He said, okay. He said, but do you know how to get out there? And I was like, well, I guess you just paddle. And he said, well, there's like a circular current. And if you start to paddle that way, it's going to pull you out this way. So you got to paddle around that sailboat and then around the other sailboat and you'll get out, which made it to where it was like a 3/4 mile paddle.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, because I am a little bit familiar with how the Caribbean works and you're on this beach. Like I'm imagining this wave is like in the distance.
Yeah. It's way out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 100 sailboats between me and this wave.
Yeah.
And I still have no idea how big the wave is, what kind of bottom the wave has. I have nothing because no one is there to tell me anything other than this guy saying you just got to paddle around these sailboats. But that's what I do. And it takes a while to get out. The whole time I'm like, I hope this was a good idea. I don't know what's going to happen, but I get out there and sure enough, it's, you know, well overhead, left point break, kind of mushy, but that was all right. Cause I was on
you're on a sunboard.
Sunboard. Yeah.
It's perfect.
No one out, no one. Only people I saw were there some people sitting on boats as I paddled by.
Yeah.
I caught 5 waves.
Right.
And then spent 45 minutes paddling back in.
And you did it.
Yeah. And then I couldn't find the guy. So then I'm on the beach walking around with this board and I'm like, where is this guy at? Like, I don't know where to leave his board or what to do. And finally his friend pops out of a bush down the beach and it's like, you can just leave it right there. I was like, all right, I'm out.
I'm laughing. I think most people that have traveled and been to little places like that can absolutely imagine like some over-tanned, crusty, slightly elderly expat just walking out of the bushes. And you're like, what the what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 11 o'clock in the morning and he's already fried.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, you made it back.
That's awesome. Dude, that is awesome. So, man, so you pulled it off. The family was happy. They had a Caribbean beach for the day. You're away from the tourists. You got away from the sailboat. You got to surf a left-hand point break you didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell people all the time that when they talk about surfing, I'm like, you know, the best part about surfing is that it does force you to kind of explore different zones.
Yeah.
And we would have never if I wouldn't have looked on, you know, on my phone that day, we would have never at all seen that side of the island.
Yeah.
We would have stayed right there in our resort and relaxed and hung out. But it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That is awesome.
It was really cool.
Yeah. That's a really cool story, man. Well, hey, thanks for telling us. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Surf Shorts this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I sure did. I hadn't seen Jesse in a long time, and it was really good to catch up. He is a really good surfer and a really good surfboard shaper, and you will definitely hear him on some other episodes of Surf Shorts. I hope you enjoy that story. One of my favorite parts is at the end where he talks about he's going down the road trying to return the surfboard and the guy just comes walking out of the bushes. And I don't know why I thought that was so funny, but I guarantee you some of you are out there driving around in your cars right now laughing at the same thing because you've been in some surfing country where there are expats and, you know, dudes just come walking out of the bushes and you're like, where was this guy 5 minutes ago? Either way, thanks for listening to Surf Shorts. Please hit me up at Surf Shorts Podcast. Dude, I'm on Instagram, YouTube. We have a lot of YouTube shorts you might enjoy. We're on TikTok, but I'm not dancing. And we have a website, surfshortspodcast.com, where you can listen to all our shows and see some pictures from the shows. And you can also just shoot me an old-fashioned email, surfshortspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks a bunch, y'all. Have a great week. All right, y'all, listen. I say surf, you say shorts. Surf!
Shorts!
Surf!
Shorts!
I say, wait a minute. I think that pretty much covers it.